I'm Rusty Butler, a Saletch tribal member. I got in trouble with the law when I was 14 years old and spent my teenage years behind the bars. My culture and traditions helped me find my way. I now work with the Saletch youth in my community. Hear my story on Prison Pipeline, November 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Nanta Shri Nagi Thai, Nanta Ho, 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 Nanta Ho.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, October 30th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is investigative journalist and exile, Janet Fallon. She'll be joining us in just a minute. We've got a couple of speaking about judges, specifically judges in the state of Oregon, how the weight of their decisions influences all of our lives and the weight of our decisions regarding the judges that we elect. How that affects life in the great state of Oregon and indeed, in fact, across Cascadia. First, though, the Center for Public Integrity evaluated the disclosure of rules for judges in the highest state courts nationwide. The level of disclosure in the 50 states and the District of Columbia was poor, 43 receiving failing grades. Among those was Oregon. It made it difficult for the public to identify potential conflicts of interest on the bench. Despite the lack of information in the public records, the center's investigation found nearly 36 conflicts, questionable gifts, and entanglements among top judges around the country. ExposeFacts.org is off the blocks and running hard and fast. A billboard challenging Amazon to fully disclose the terms of its $600 million contract to provide cloud computing services for the CIA has been unveiled at a busy intersection near Amazon Seattle headquarters. Yes, you can go up there and see it for yourself. The billboard's launch asking the $600 million question, what's the CIA doing on Amazon's cloud? It marks the escalation of a campaign by the online activist organization RootsAction.org and ExposeFacts.org. We've frequently had guests from those organizations on the show. Well, we'll be following up on that very soon. Next, the PayPal 14 are activists charged under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act for launching distributed denial of service attacks against the websites of PayPal and other financial companies in retaliation for those companies' extra legal blockade of WikiLeaks upon the publication of the secret documents exposing U.S. atrocities, is revealed by Chelsea Manning back in 2010. Yes. Listeners, so if you are buying things online and you're still using PayPal, shouldn't be. It's amazing how short people's memories are. This is only back to 2010. That's not long, people. Anyone using PayPal, think about that. Especially if you do that sort of thing of buying things online, well, this is crap at this time of year, flying through the air, probably dropped by Amazon via drone straight through your roof. You have to wonder about PayPal and its collusion with powers even greater than itself. The FBI is attempting to persuade an obscure regulatory body in Washington to change its rules of engagement in order to see significant new powers to hack into and carry out surveillance of computers throughout the U.S. and around the world. Civil liberties groups warn that the proposed rule change amounts to a power grab by the agency that would ride roughshod over strict limits to searches and seizures laid out under the Fourth Amendment. They have protested that the FBI is seeking to transform its cyber capabilities with a minimal public debate, in fact, minimal public awareness, as far as I know, and with no congressional oversight. Not that Congress is going to do much overseeing, but nonetheless, it puts a little cherry on top of the old cake there. And much going on in Palestine right now. Mumia Abu-Jamal has a good piece on that. I'll leave it right there because we want to get straight to our guest today, Janet Fallon, who has remarks and observations from exile, frequently shed a great deal more light on any given situation than many of the observers a lot closer to home. That said, good morning, Janet. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yes, I had a momentary blip on my computer. Hello, Chris.
Well, good morning. Listeners should know that for Janet Fallon to be able to join us at all, is she does have to take risks. It's not like picking up the phone for the rest of us might do. I can't even go into it. I'll leave that to you, Janet, if you would like to bring listeners up to speed on your situation, and then we want to talk a little bit because this report has come out about judges across the country. Oregon didn't do so well, despite the fact that we elect judges, and we should have some sort. We therefore have some degree of responsibility. So first off, if you feel like it, bring people up to speed on your situation, why this is a topic that is near and dear to your own hearts, having brushed up against the American legal system and found that it was an unpleasant experience.
I think that's subject for a diatribe that I'm not exactly prepared for today. So let's talk about the judges, okay? I would like the listening audience to know that the Campaign for Judicial Integrity has launched an effort in California to, it's a no retention action. And this is due to the documentation that 90% of California judges were given retroactive immunity from criminal prosecution, civil liability, and disciplinary action for taking illegal payments from the counties which were appearing before them in cases. In other words, the judges were being paid by a party to the case. Now, when this was disclosed in California, the legislature rushed into action and passed SBX 211 to give this immunity to the judges. So the Campaign for Judicial Integrity is attempting to vote these judges out. And we're talking now about 90% of the sitting judges. Now, Oregon does not have the same issue with judges being paid by counties, according to the Supreme Court in Oregon. Judges can only be paid by the state, and these other monies, possibly from counties or cities, are a big no-no. Now, that is all to the good for the state of Oregon, because we don't want judges receiving monies from parties to the case. That is a severe conflict of interest. However, this report that has come in that has given Oregon a failing grade on its disclosures. Judges have to disclose every year what their financial profile is. Are they getting gifts? What their investments are? The financial disclosures in Oregon are not adequate. The state fails to ask judges about the gifts they receive and has a sort of a peculiar statement that prohibits judges from accepting gifts from donors whose interests have come or are likely to come before the court when it would be nearly impossible for judges to anticipate every party whose case might reach their court. So there's a lot of wiggle room for the judges. But what is very important, I think, to realize is that there has been another method already documented through which judges are receiving illegal monies. And they are, in many venues, laundering bribes through their home loans. In several cases now, judges have stepped down from cases when they were confronted with this. And this appears, the research began in California on this, but this particular method of receiving dirty money has been researched now in many other states. Most states do not require judges to report the loans on their personal property. So this is not an issue where judges are required to disclose these loans. And I want to say something about money laundering. If you are a public official, there are limited ways that you can receive big bundles of cash. Brian Mulroney, a former prime minister up in Canada, was caught receiving a big bundle of cash. It came in like a big manila envelope, and he was caught red-handed.
Literally bags of money. I mean, Maloney's case was wonderfully hilarious because it was so blatant.
Yes, and he did apologize, but he didn't want to give the money back. So that was basically it. Now, you know, an effort like this could raise some questions, as it did with Brian Mulroney. If someone, let's say, writes you a big check, maybe $100,000, $50,000, you put it into your bank account, that is also going to raise a flag. Anything over $10,000 is going to raise a flag. So if someone takes out a loan, however, and someone else pays it back, there are no flags raised, and there is no subsequent investigation. And this process is fairly opaque, and it has now been confirmed that there are many, many judges now feeding at that trough.
Well, we had a case that came up here a while back. A very controversial figure, Crystal Cox, she has many, many, many websites. They proliferate. And they are, let's say, in many ways, they say they're not very extremely not derogatory things about public officials, judges in particular, they are full-on frontal attacks in many cases. She's an investigative journalist. She was hounded from place to place. I don't know where she is right now. She basically went into deep hiding. But she was a mortgage. She started out as a mortgage broker. She started looking into mortgage fraud. And she came up with some very, very interesting information, which she attempted to publish. She was turned down flat by every single left, liberal, progressive media outlet, except for this one. And even this one was highly suspicious because she is very flamboyant. She does not pull any punches. She is who she is, and she refuses to slow down on. But she was slapped with a $2.5 million judgment by a judge who was receiving deals on his mortgage and wanted to keep that out of the news far more than he cared about silencing, well, he wanted to silence Crystal. But this has come up over and over again throughout the years. So the fact that right now you're talking about it is a very great consequence. We don't know can hurt us. On that note, we're out of time. I'd like to record more, put it on the website. But how would you like to wrap this up for our listeners right now?
Well, I think that what you just said was you know, a good wrap up here, Chris, which is what you don't know can hurt you. So thank you again for getting me on the air about this, and I look forward to further opportunities to discuss these issues on KPU.
Well, that's going to come up very soon. Just so listeners know, I want to try to record more of what Janet has to say on the subject. She is a great wealth of information that is incredibly important, especially right now. This has been, however, for now, Air Cascadia for Thursday, October 30th, 2014. Rock Bergeron engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the Key BOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned. More from Janet Fallon later and on the website. Thanks for listening.
Today on Flashpoints, Jim Crow returns. Millions of minority voters threatened by electoral purge. Greg Palast breaks the story, and you're going to hear a lot more about cross-check coming up on Flashpoints. Also, 40 years of resistance to